Hearing none, we'll move on to the big one here is agenda item I, discussion, planning, and possible action on changes to the home inspector standards in general. Okay, so I want to kick that off. We're a little bit, or we're more than half a year past when I hoped to get this going, but COVID has interrupted this for sure. And just to give background, especially for Gene, we have a set of standards for a home inspection. We have a set of assistant Peter, what are the
what
settlement checklist?
Our other document to interpret the standards.
Oh, those are the board rules. They interpret the standards.
You mean the checklist?
Checklist supplement.
So again, we have the standards of practice for a home inspection. We have a checklist supplement to aid in interpreting those standards, where we identified year to year difficulties in interpreting them. And then we have a separate set of pool and spa standards of practice and another set of checklist supplement to interpret those. So for the record, the original, the home inspection standards of practice we operate by right now was developed during the very early 8 days of licensing in Arizona, and it was selected from an existing set of standards that were modified slightly for Arizona, and they've been in existence for a very long time, since licensing began in January of 2003. The pool and spa standards began with, actually I kind of crafted a draft of it, and Peter and I formed together a task force to hammer out details of how they should look, and they were crafted from scratch. And then we also at the same time crafted the checklist supplement on those. So that's where we are, and that's where we're beginning from. It would be a goal of mine if we could, it may not be possible, but it would be wonderful if we could eliminate the checklist supplements and the need for those, and just have the standard be adequate in definition. And then just noticing the difference between the two standards, I've heard it said before that, and it's true, that the pool and spa standards are heavy on exclusions and limitations, and the home inspection standards have their own set of exclusions and limitations, but the reason for that is certainly it lays out what a home inspection includes and what it requires, but the agency and clients and the public don't have any problem with all the wonderful things we're doing for them. It's a matter of, in most cases actually, where they don't understand what is not included in these inspections. So we have to be very detailed in what the exclusion and limitations are. So as we proceed forward, if that comes up, it just has to be that way, I believe. We actually have, and it will be discussed at, actually next, there is a Google Docs system that Kirk has developed and put out for us to exchange documents and make comments and all of that, and we'll get some information on how to use that. I am hoping to free up my schedule enough to kind of just craft, at least take a stab at the home inspection standards and give us something to start with as a new document, and we can tear it apart and dial it in. And the other thing I would like to do, starting right away with anybody who wants to chime in or has an opinion, is I would like to ferret out all the hot button items that people seem to have, like our item J was about amending the GFCI standard. So there are people that have these items that they're very passionate about that need to be fixed, and I'd like to get all of those right now so that we can understand that. Let's see. So that said, we're not allowed to just meet with Peter and Paul and I because of open meeting laws, and we're fortunate that the land surveyors have gone through a change to their standards, so they've kind of paved the way on how this gets done with a group of people interacting on this, and we need feedback on that. But again, I'd like to kind of just take a stab at drafting something that we can work from, and I'm hoping to free up my time enough to get that done within the next 3 months or so for sure. So that's my hope. If I struggle on that, then, you know, we can go a different route. But I'd like to take some conversation on this if we could.
David, this is Peter. Are you looking to, are we looking to change to be more in line with the ASHI standard insofar as terminology goes? For instance,
I don't think we have to. I think we should do what's best for Arizona. You know?
Well, I'm talking about terminology, really. For instance, we use the term observe. The ASHI standard used the term inspect, you know, for the same thing. We both use describe. I'm wondering what kind of format you're looking for this. And my other question is, you wanted to get rid of the help form, the checklist supplemental, inspection supplemental checklist form, which was only put in to help home inspectors who are having trouble with the standards, to let them know what in fact we expected them. Do you think that's possible to get rid of that form? Do you think we can write a standard in such a way that we don't have to give the home inspector help anymore insofar as what we're looking for? Do you think we can get rid of that form and still keep our Enforcement Advisory Committee members all on the same page? I'm not sure in the way I'm looking at things, and I'm trying to look at it from different directions as to whether or not we can actually eliminate that help sheet.
I would estimate the probabilities at no more than 50%. I want to be optimistic that we could, and if we think big enough, I think we could. I'm not sure either. I just bring it up as a goal.
Well, we can dump the help sheet, you know, the supplemental form, but I just think that we'll have so many problems with interpretations of the standards, unless our goal is actually to write standards that are not ambiguous, can't be twisted, can't be misinterpreted. I think we need that. Yeah.
Well, for instance, I just think there's some things we can do. Like, let me give you an example. Instead of the asterisks, just say, if present, comma, stains in the attic must be reported on. You know, or signs of abnormal condensation. So we can add the words if present, comma, to get rid of all asterisks, right? And then I think that, I don't know, if the guide is necessary still, then we keep it. If the checklist supplement needs to be there, I'm not saying we have to, or I'm hung on that, but I would hope that we could come up with some ways to whittle it down, perhaps, or eliminate it if we can.
I think it's a great goal. We should just continue to work on it. Now, I'm looking at the, I'm actually in here at the Home Inspector Task Force website, and I'm not seeing that anybody has made any changes at all on anything yet, right?
If I can comment on that as well. This is Kurt Winter. All I did, and this is just from my experience working with the land surveyors, is that they started with just their normal standards. Initially, they tried to just, you know, change it, make comments on it. You know, what can we do to this document that already exists and then make a new one? And after about two sessions, they decided to throw the whole thing out and just recreate the whole thing from scratch. whether how you guys want to go about it, you can go about it. You just have to make that choice. If you want to work off of a document, put documents together, start from scratch, it's all on you. And so this is just, I plugged this in there in case you wanted to go about it that way.
Thank you for that. It's well done. The now, David, are we looking to change to start all over and or, you know, and doing another whole format on this?
And if I could also comment on that, the land surveyors had also a choice. If they're going to create a standard and have the statute relate to that document, or, as the land surveyors did, actually create new statute with the bullets and everything, or a rule, I can't recall, but basically, are you creating a new part of the Board Act, or are you creating a standard in which the Board Act will then reference? And you have to make that choice as well.
Okay. And answering the question there, Peter, too, is not too long ago, I don't know, pre-COVID anyway, I had looked at the current ASHI standards, and they're way better in terms of covering things that are home inspectors commonly include in their inspection, like built-in appliances, and they're quite good in a lot of ways. So, you know, it's certainly a basis, but I just want to have open minds that we don't have to adhere to any of it. Actually, we just want to do what we did with pool and spas, where we crafted what we thought was best for Arizona.
Yeah, but with the pool and spas, we crafted what we thought was best, and then we put it in the format to meet the standard, the home inspection standard format. So who do we have anyone on this task force yet?
You're on it.
Well, yeah, I'm already on it.
We had the group that was that showed interest in your position back in the beginning of the year. Some were interested, some weren't. I don't recall off the top of my head, because it has been, you know, six months or so since we've done this. So, but there were interested parties to be part of it.
We do have interested parties, David. So what if what would be the first step?
Unless you want to do it, perhaps. I mean, I just think there's some value in the way that we hammered out the very first standards, and then you and I did the pool and spa standards, just that whole experience, and then going to GIRC and the whole thing, that's incredibly valuable. So I think one of us two should craft a first draft of a concept, and I'm willing to do that. And then we gather up the very first step is to get input from interested parties about what any of their passionate, you know, items that need to be added or removed or clarified are, because we need that input. And then we can post it up here, and then we can get that full task force on it. I think that's my vision of it.
All right, then.
And David, this is Paul, if I may. So I think it's a very worthy goal of doing away with the checklist, but there's so many moving parts in a home inspection. And I think our existing checklist has really helped with compliance. It's helped with EACs. I realize it's a maintenance headache for us from a regulatory side. I think it's a worthy goal. We know at a very minimum, when we're done with everything, we're going to have to produce a document saying, oh, by the way, here's the new standards, and these are the changes. These are the 8 changes in the way we do business effective this date. So we know we'll have to produce something at the end of the day. I kind of see this more as not a total rewrite, because I don't know that we need that. I think these standards have served us very well for close to 20 years. They just simply needed to be updated, and the standards themselves are close to 20 years old after they had gotten cobbled together. I was in also with you and Peter on the pool and standards, the pool and spa standards, so I do think we were appropriately defensive in how those were crafted, simply because of the nature of the component that we're inspecting, if nothing else. It's fraught with danger, swimming pools are. And so I think we had to have those limitations. And, you know, and I wonder, is, you know, one of the many questions we need to ask is, does it make sense to maybe combine them? And maybe not. Maybe we want to keep them two separate documents. But from the standpoint of moving forward, I like what Kurt did on the Google Drive as far as that task force. And I agree, David, that I think we're at a point where one way is for, you know, certainly one of us to go ahead and take a draft of it. But I do think we do have these topic areas, and I think you started talking about that, that we might have 10 or 15, you know, areas of discussion. Maybe it's solar, maybe it is smoke detectors, maybe built-in kitchen appliances and ethics, whatever else.
Yeah.
So at any rate, but if there was another file possibly in here regarding the discussion points, and those could also be discussion points when we're reaching out to inspectors and say, okay, we're considering taking a look at the GFCI requirements or the built-in kitchen appliances. What do you think should be excluded? Or because part of this, I think, is also somewhat trying to match our standard of care, you know, that you've kind of referred to. You've looked at other reports and built-in appliances. What are other companies doing? And I think it's a good way to get started with this. And I do think if we could have some kind of repository so we can start listing the areas that we know are going to need further discussion, you know, some of which we've talked about, AFCIs and, you know, solar and so on. Those are definite areas that we're going to need to discuss further. But I don't see us changing, you know, the, you know, going back and doing a lot in definitions as far as, you know, the term immediate major repair or inspect or, you know, major defect. We hope we can keep those intact. At least that was my hope.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it brings up the fact that I think there's a very large advantage to having the checklist supplement because we will know that we can anticipate in the early days that there's going to be the need for interpretation and clarification. Right. And that's a document that we can modify yearly without having to go for a rules change. So we'll probably, now that this has been discussed, and I'm glad we talked about it, because we probably need to keep that document in both cases. However, I just wanted to honor Peter with that concept of the if present, comma, that we could get rid of the asterisks and he would be so much happier.
I would be tickled to have no asterisks on that file.
I wanted to give him hope anyway. To be honest, I think I'll have to look back at my records, but I think I found a Word doc version of the current ASHI standards, which are actually more than 4 or 5 years old right now. And I think I had talked to you, Paul, about, is there an impending change to the standards? And at the time last year, I believe there was not. Do you believe that to be the case still?
I still believe that to be the case. I spoke with the standards chair at IW in January, and there was no indication of doing anything else. They were, I think at the time, they were playing with radon and pre-drywall and some of the other more the ancillary SOPs from that standpoint. So not aware that ASHI is making any big changes. And the current ASHI standards, I think, have a March 1st 2014 date on them,
yeah,
from what I could tell.
They do, yes.
Well, then that helps a lot. So March what, 14?
March 1, 2014.
That's correct.
March 1, 2014?
Yes, sir.
Correct.
Okay, then what I propose to do is I'm going to take those and I'm going to probably throw those up immediately because they're they're quite solid. I mean, they've got some things I can't live with, and maybe, you know, we'll all have some items we want to modify, but that's a really good starting place. So I'll try and obtain a Word version of that, and then we'll have Kurt get it up. Kurt, could you answer for me? What's the most effective way to maybe even ask all registrants, or at least those that showed interest, to give us their opinions on what needs to be in it, or taken out, or clarified?
Well, I'm hesitant to send out a mass email to the home inspection population for opinions, as I think it would be quite overwhelming. I think the group that you guys, that we discussed at the beginning of the year, who wished to join, would be sufficient. I feel they all had great qualifications, and the interest in actually doing something. That's how the Land Surveyor Task Force was. It was just a group of about 9 individuals of diverse backgrounds as land surveyors, and I think that's what you guys want, is a group of dedicated individuals that have their opinions, that have been in the business. And
well, we have those in our Enforcement Advisory Committee.
Correct.
All right. I think we ought to be working with the Enforcement Advisory Committee members. And start there, and if anybody else shows an interest, we can always bring them in.
And David and the rest of you, on the website that I created, the Home Inspector Task Force website, there's now another Google document that says Items for Discussion. That will lead to another Word doc or Google doc where you can type in those items that you wish to discuss.
Perfect. Okay, so we have the, well, we're almost taking care of Kay here.
Dave, before we leave, let's talk a little more about the logistics. I think Kurt's going to demonstrate how you guys can make suggested changes to the standards in a subsequent agenda item discussion. And really, any of the members of the task force can do that. And it's a good document because you can see, you know, for instance, you might have a comment about exterior or roofing or something, and then as Kurt shows you how to make those comments, your comments are separate from, say, for instance, comments Peter might make, or Paul, or anyone else on the committee. And I would also suggest that you put down or consider time frames for when you want those comments up on this website, and then Kurt can schedule another Google Meets meeting where all of the task force members can get together and actually discuss the items for discussion and the comments that have been entered on the new draft of the standard.
Melissa, I have a question.
Okay.
I can't remember who told me, it was Scott or Patty, that because the home inspectors have a committee, that if they were to get together to discuss their changes and comments, unlike the land surveyors, they would need a home, we would need an agenda, and we would need to post it.
Right, and that's why I made the suggestion that we'd have to schedule a date and time for what I'm calling now our official teleworking meetings, because you are an official committee and we need to comply with open meeting law.
Okay. So do you believe that it's better to do that or leave the standards draft raw or in its existing form and then make all the suggestions in that other document?
This is Kurt Winter. Dave, if you can see my shared screen, which is on the new standards draft page, just real quick, so you guys understand how this could work. Let's say this is, you guys had written this all out. It's, you know, as just a draft. And you're going, okay, what do you guys think of this? In the interim between these meetings in which you guys would actually talk, you can make comments onto the Google Doc for the later conversation. So somebody can just highlight an area. Over here, there's a little dropdown where you can edit the document, make a suggestion, or just view the document. So everybody just kind of make sure you understand there's a little dropdown here on the top right of the screen. And you want to be in suggestion mode. So I highlighted this, and you can see a little comment box came over here. And I can add my comments, you know, blah, blah, blah. Boom. And then it's just saved there on the side. somebody else can come in, do the exact same thing, highlight it, and they can now reply to that comment. You know, blah, 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 reply. And it, so on and so forth. So everybody can comment on that individual comment. When you come in here together, as the Land Surveyor Task Force had done, is that they just start at the very top and they work their way down through all the comments. And if somebody made a change, I don't know, intro, for instance, they just change the language. And you can see it's right here. If you guys like that change, all we would do is come over here and accept that suggestion. You accept it, and now that intro is there instead. It just plugs in whatever language that they want in there. You can just accept it, or you can not accept it, and it would just go away, if that makes sense. So,
did you do that by saying change or edit the document?
So you would come up to the right corner, and you want suggesting.
So is it locked down so people can't go in there and start editing it?
It is not locked down in that way. You would just be under editing, and then you can just start doing whatever. The suggestions lets you put in what you think it ought to be without altering the document itself. Only way it will alter the document is if, when you guys are together, accept those changes, if that makes sense.
But if they make a mistake and they enter it as an edit, they're going to start messing with the document and jacking it up, are they not?
They are. Google Documents is very good about auto-saving. It's not like Microsoft Word where you have to save the document when you want. It does it by itself. So, but there is a, see the changes, and you can go through the full history. I believe you should be able to go back and see what was edited and go and edit it back.
That's messy. Are you sure there's no way to lock the document down to take away the editing capability?
I'm sure there is. I can just look right now. Let's see.
Maybe if you put the chairman of the task force, only person who can actually change the document.
Here, we can just go to... So it gives me these options. If you can see on the screen, viewer, commenter, and editor.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Let me see what commenter does. You'll have to let me know because it's my document, so I should be able to do whatever I want. So are you the dolphin or the, what is that, quokka or chipmunk? I don't know, but try to make a suggestion. So, you know, back over here, suggesting on something.
Are you in the task force,
Doc? Editing is grayed out. I'm not able to edit.
So are you able to perfect. Suggest?
Yes, okay. And I'm able to view and suggest.
Awesome. Okay, so it's done already there.
Yep. Good. All right. Great system. Great system. Okay.
When you actually want to put in whatever it is that you want in there, I can put you back to editing, or you can let me know, and then I will put that language in there, and then you guys can begin your commenting.
Okay. Well, then I will get you right away the ASCII standard from March 1st, 2014 in a Word doc, and then we can just kind of head from there, perhaps.
All right. Yeah, just let me know. I'll plug it into here, and once it's plugged in, I can let you guys know. You can begin commenting. Just, I guess, before this meeting is out, you guys will just have to pick when your next meeting date will be.
Okay.
And the meeting can be specifically for the sole purpose of, you know, discussion of revising the standard. So, you know, there doesn't have to be anything else on the agenda.
Very good.
You're talking about this committee right here?
Correct, yes.
Task force committee.
So we are the task force?
At least the three members of your home inspection committee are part of the task force, which is why we have the open meeting law requirements, because that's a quorum. Okay?
Perfect. Okay, that works. I like that.
Of course, right. David, I could drop out of this task force, and you guys could do this anytime.
No, that's not a viable solution there.
Yeah, thanks,
nice try, Peter.
Nah, thanks, Paul. Who does have editing capabilities on this? Is it you?
Just me at the moment. And so
that's good. Let's leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I just want to go back and apologize for not acknowledging that Paul did work on the pool and spa standards. I'd forgotten about that, and that was an interesting project. And I think we have the right team here to pull this off as a task force. So I'm excited about this. All right, is there? Can we rotate from this, unless somebody's got something else to discuss?
Yeah, just
and rotate directly to Kay if there's anything else that Kurt needs to advise us on as far as operating this awesome system.
I would just say here, if you can see my screen, I added that Google document, items for discussion. It doesn't sound like you guys might need that. If you were okay with giving me those newer ASHI standards, I could plug them in to here, and then if there are those items of discussion or concerns, you can just use the comments part to put that in there, where you would like to see it or not see it, or an editing or something of that nature.
Is there any reason to get rid of it?
What's that?
The
items to discuss?
Yeah.
It's up to you guys. It can be there.
I like it. This way you don't have to actually go into the document to write something small. You can actually go in and say something in a paragraph in there that everyone can think about, and then we can find a place to fix it.
I would agree with that, because I believe going through the land surveyor experience, when somebody does type in there, they do sometimes want to type in those paragraphs upon paragraphs, mm-hmm. comments over comments, does get a little cumbersome to view mm-hmm. on the screen and so forth. So I don't see why you would not do it that way. So items for discussion will remain for that purpose. You guys can do whatever you want, and everybody can edit that document.
I wonder if we should call it items for discussion / detailed description or something like that, so that they know to kind of not mess up the draft.
Okay.
Oral on descriptions.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, this is Keith. I have a question.
Yeah, I
sure.
Just for clarification, so are you going to be using the ASHI standards, and then you're going to be just modifying them, and they're still going to be called ASHI or not?
We'll have to see how far they depart from the ASHI standards, and we will need to talk to Arizona ASHI about that. So we have a mechanism to have the chapter adopt them, which is what we did for the original versions.
If you don't call it ASHI standards, and then would that cause a liability issue with the BTR, since you're setting your own?
Well, the BTR is adopting them, so it doesn't change a condition that doesn't already exist.
This is Kurt Winter, and again, I would like you guys to really think about if you don't want to actually create a standard, but actually create rules, as the land surveyors had done. And I think from Patty had told me before that's helpful, because it makes it so much easier to make any changes that you need to make. As opposed to saying, oh, we had to rewrite the whole standard, go through and say, can you accept this new standard? You can just go in and say, I want to change a rule, and do the rules and just change the standards that way, if that makes sense. So really give that a thought, how you guys want to go about it and how you want it to end up.
Okay, very good. Would that conclude, Kurt, the highlights of how to use the system?
That would, as long as you guys understand not to edit, use the suggestions, and you can make the changes and make comments. That's really what I wanted to show you, so I'm good to go. If you guys have any questions, let me know.
We're blocked out of editing anyway, right?
On this particular one, yes.
Yeah, you'll block that. Okay, good. All right. Super. All right, well, that actually kind of takes care of I and K. So now we are on to the director's report.
Before we go, I would love for you guys to set some time frames for your discussion and possible meetings to change the standards. Does the committee want to put out a deadline to its members and anyone interested in taking part in the task force to go online and within like a month or 2 months, whatever, to make their suggestions to the document and then plan for a meeting today? Or do you want to sort of leave it up in the air?
What would your recommendation for time and approach be, Melissa?
Well, I think we should certainly start striking while the iron is hot, so to speak. So I would say let's make the task force members aware that the document's up for suggestions on the website and give them a period of 60 days to make their comments, and then we can schedule a meeting, make sure it's posted and announced via Google and all of those things that we do, so that you could meet and discuss some of those suggestions, because I expect there are going to be more than just one or two meetings before you guys come to a new and revised set of standards. So let's get it going. What do you think?
I like it. Are we going to address right now the checklist supplement at all? I noticed it was in the array of documents there.
It is not on the agenda. And Don't we normally do it in November?
Yes.
Maybe hold off on looking at it until the standards have been looked, well. You guys still have to get through the whole law, making it a law and everything else, so it might be a while.
This is going to be a long, drawn-out process.
So what?
Yeah.
It's not going to be done overnight. First off, I'm not personally convinced that the format that we brought up there from ASHI is the format we're going to want. All right? It's a totally different format than what we're using. It might be a good idea to bring both formats up here for drafting. You know, and moving things back and forth until we end up with a format that we like. Where it says items for discussion and detailed description, we want to make it clear that that's where we want these gentlemen who come and ladies who come in to make comments on this, to put it in there. So there should be items for discussion, comment, and you can put detailed description in there so they know that they can take their time putting it in there. But I don't think that we're anywhere near an actual format yet. Unless, David, you're looking to adopt the ASHI standard, the ASHI format, and I'm a little concerned because I'm not particularly fond of that format. So we got a lot of discussion to do. And I think we ought to put it out to the industry. You know, to the EAC committee members that it's here, and for them to start giving us items for discussion, and then you can start, David, with your initial format that you feel is necessary, and then when the time comes, we'll sit down and beat that up again. You know, but that's not going to happen this month. It's not going to happen, possibly not even in 2020 to be done with actually formatting this. It's probably going to go into the new year for sure.
Yeah, that's true. And it's going to take place over, I'm sure, several meetings. I apologize for the dog barking.
It looked like the checklist supplement was posted in the array of documents. Do we want to take that out, or are they not going to be able to see that? Anybody commenting?
I can see it, but I don't know that that needs editing at this point.
Then let's set it as view only. That was one of the options, I think.
That's a good idea.
That's the reason I brought that up.
Where is it, David? I don't see it in there.
Well, I don't know. It was one of the screens Kurt had navigated to, and maybe it's not. It might have been just within his folder or something.
I have the standards.
So what are we looking at, or what are we discussing?
He's looking to make read-only on the supplemental form, but I don't see the supplemental form in here.
You mean in the draft of standards page?
In the Google system here, it'll only have those two documents to view, and that's it.
So can you see my screen? Is everybody looking at my screen? So I'm in the draft of standards Google Doc.
New draft standards.
All I did was I copied and pasted our standards onto this page. Whether or not this is what you want is up to you guys. This whole thing can be deleted out. I don't care. And then I can post in the ASHI. I can post in ASHI and this one together.
Okay, these are our standards.
These are our standards.
Oh, okay. No, that's where I want to start. I want to start with our standards. Yeah.
Let's discuss items on that important links. What's the difference between 1 and 3 on there? Do you see that on the main page there?
Let me go back.
So I'm on the website now, and I had just tried to find documents that might, you know, be of importance for you guys to have these discussions.
I'm having trouble going back without going out. I have to keep going out.
It should be 2 tabs when you go through the links. But the 1 should just be our standards, and 3 should be the 2015 directly from the ASHI website here.
Right, that's the ASHI standard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think.
As it says.
No, that's AZ ASHI, I think.
Arizona ASHI 2515.
Yeah.
So you can see that's the 2015. So I just went to ASHI site to grab that link. And this one should be directly from our standards here. BTR.
Number 1 is very old. The only reason that there was a 2015 modification is because the very last definition, the very last words on the document were truncated somehow, so we had to go back and fix it properly. And so I think 1 should be taken off that link. And number 3 is what we're working from here, I guess.
Well, these are just for your information and nothing else. And Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong, but these standards of the 2002 on them, they are our standards. And
right, those are our standards.
Well, the 2015 revision are our current standards.
No.
No, what Kurt put up there are ASHI's revisions, and he just did it as a reference. So if you go, he just put it down as important links, 1 through 7, but the documents we're talking about editing are above that, where it says Google document new standards draft, and then items for discussion, detailed description. So, Kurt, I think we need to know, we don't want anyone editing the documents under the important links section, right?
These are just links to PDFs.
Like, okay.
People can't.
So no one can edit.
It goes to websites that I have. Like, I have control over our BTR website, but these don't go anywhere except websites. They're not documents.
Okay, last question. Your new standard draft, Google document new standard draft, is that number 3 brought into there?
No. Right now, this is just number 1.
It's number 1 brought into there.
It is number 1 brought
into there. Probably ought to have number 3 brought into there so that we have the updated one to work from.
Okay, that's fine. I was waiting for this meeting for that kind of
Isn't
direction.
That what you meant, David?
Yeah.
You want to work on number 3 of the updated 2015. Not be working on the 2000, the oldest, the million-year-old one.
Right, and I think David had earlier said that he was going to send me the Word version of that, and then I was going to plug it in.
Oh, you don't have it?
Well, I'm sure I could find it, but he said he would do it for me.
David, you got to send that Word version to Kurt of the 2015.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Okay. Let me just clarify this. So, I think number 1 should come out on that important links. Number 3 should be at the top at number 1, and this is Arizona ASHI standards, which is what this state adopted, and so it's the 92 ASHI standards with a few modifications is what we did.
Right.
There's a current, the most current ASHI national set of standards are a very good basis. They need to be tweaked, but they're a very good basis. And I would suggest we take a look at that as our new standards draft as something to work from, rather than what we currently have. But if you guys disagree with that, you know, we can.
You see, I do disagree with that. So, but if you really feel strongly about that, then we need to bring them both into new draft. You know what I'm saying?
And, yeah, maybe make the second one. Existing standards of practice, and then new standards draft could be that March 1st, so that if you feel strongly about that, you can go to work on that set, and then, or I don't know what the best approach.
Well,
have you reviewed the new ones?
Yeah, but not deeply. I mean, I've been in and out of them, but.
Okay, I'll have a chit chat with you, and I'll talk you into them because they've got some really solid changes to them.
Yeah, I don't mind the changes. I'm concerned with the format.
Format?
Yeah, the actual format. So that's why I was thinking maybe we could bring our standards in for the format and put their changes into our standards. You want to go the other way, so that's what I'm saying. Maybe we need to run them both side by side until we come up with something right.
Let's not forget about the Code of Professional Conduct, which is, I believe, part of our standards, but not part of that document. And I think our Code of Conduct/Ethics is also on the table here, is it not?
No. The agency has its own Code of Conduct already in rule for every registrant. So. Yeah.
Okay, so that's not part of our standards then?
It is not.
No,
thank you.
You can go into rules, though, down here and find the board's Code of Conduct.
Yeah. Okay, I will maybe talk to you, Peter, and we'll look at that new ASHI version, and then we'll come to an agreement. If there's two different documents that we're working from, taking comments on, I'm worried about the merger between the two. So if you have that objection to the format, we can talk about that further, and then we'll come to an agreement, and that'll be what we post as just the single document to start with as a draft, if that'd be okay.
Yeah, that'll work for me. That'll work.
Okay.
Whatever you guys come to, just let me know, give it to me, and I'll post it in there, and then you guys can start doing the suggestions once that's done.
Okay. Will do. Okay, thank you all so much. Very important.
Do we have a time frame, Dave? Do you want them up for 60 days? Do you want to have a meeting to discuss potential edits as a task force, like coming up in November, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I would say so. We're at August or October. Yeah, probably November would be a good time for that. That allows a month for the task force to digest what's been posted before having to meet on it. So I would say if we set our next meeting in November and then go ahead and probably, I think 60 days is reasonable to ask for comments, and you could announce it as soon as we get that posted, which Peter and I will work on real quickly. We can put out the word to make your comments and edit, or not edits, but suggestions.
Right. And Kurt, the way editing occurs, it indicates whether the comments are Dave's or someone else on the task force, right?
It matters if they have a Google email or a Google account. If they have a Google account, it will post their name. Sometimes they can just create one just for that fact. If they don't, it might be, as you can see, if you're Anonymous Panda, an Anonymous Cormorant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they'll tell us, oh, the Anonymous Panda made this remark, and we're like, well, who's the Anonymous Panda? And you'll have to wait for that time for us to really find out. But they can also type in their comment, hey, this is Peter, this is what I think, and just put their name in to make sure that everybody knows who it is.
Okay, thank you.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. I feel better that we're underway on our revised new standards. I hope you guys feel the same.
I do.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, Miss Melissa, we are to your director's report. If I know it was included in the packet, but if you can and embellish and all that.
Sure, and actually I do have a little more to explain about the budget, because I attended a budget committee meeting that was organized by the Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting to talk about how COVID has impacted the state budget and potential impacts that may have on our agency's budget going forward. When COVID hit, obviously, the legislature went out of session pretty quickly, and they passed what was called the skinny budget, which is really just a baseline budget without any add-ons. So what that means for us is we had asked for about $200,000 in extra money for various things, such as digitizing documents and extra items that we needed to provide for, like retirement funds for staff that will be leaving us, that sort of thing. And we didn't get any of those extra amendments. So we're going to be working off of our skinny budget, which is $2.1 million in the coming fiscal year. With COVID, the Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting have their figures, and they estimate that we are running in a recession and we'll have a deficit in the state, which is pretty significant. And the way they're planning to cure those deficit issues is to use the federal money coming from the Federal CARES Act to offset money that they had to come out of pocket to provide for with regard to testing and hospital ramp-ups and all the rest to provide for, you know, accommodations during the pandemic. So they want to use the CARES money first, and then, I don't know if you recall, but our governor claimed that we had a billion dollar rainy day fund. They don't want to spend any of that money, or not all of that money, because they feel we'll be in a recession for 3 years. So they are budgeting some amount of that to offset some of their extra expenditures. But then they're also going to be looking to sweep our funds. So for us, that's a bad thing, because we've been saving money to buy an e-licensing system. And if our fund is swept, obviously we're not going to have the extra monies to pay for issues like e-licensing, digitization, a business analyst that we'd like to hire to help us write our requirements to move to e-licensing. And the last thing that they're thinking about doing is furloughing staff or letting people go as a last resort. They don't know how bad the recession and deficit is yet, and they feel they won't know until sometime in October. So we were told to wait for announcements from our analysts at Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting and work with them regarding any extra budget requests that we have planned. We have to submit as an agency our budget by September 1st. So the board will hopefully be looking at those figures and our extra requests at its October 20th meeting. So I just wanted you to know that our illustrious leaders at the state feel that we will be suffering a recession for 3 years here in Arizona as a result of the illness, the pandemic, and it will have some kind of impact on our agencies. Revenue funds and, you know, fund balances going forward.
Okay.
And again, we published our newsletter and we discussed the board composition. And Kurt, these are last month's figures. I think Kurt included newer figures in your materials for this meeting about the licensing numbers, including how many applications we'd received and how many renewals. And I think you'll see that the numbers are down just because of pandemic. That doesn't mean anything bad for us in terms of our revenue. I think our revenue has been okay in spite of the pandemic. People are still applying and renewing. So you can see in July, I reported to the board that we had only gotten 3 applications, but we had granted 11 licenses and renewed 59. And I want to give a shout out to Rob because we added this extra column here, the average number of calendar days to grant a license. And you can see that for home inspectors, that number is at 24 days, which is far better than it was a few years back. If you recall, it was taking like 3 months to get people licensed. So that's a direct result of having home inspector, EAC members, and other conscientious volunteers willing to work with us to review home inspector applications and help us process them more quickly. So obviously we're getting people licensed and to work more quickly. The home inspector numbers for July are at 870. They're a little higher this month, which is really good. And our number of registered firms for home inspectors went up a few as well. There are about 545 registered home inspection firms now in Arizona. And enforcement is currently working on 13 home inspector complaints. So attached to the director's report is the cash flow report that I get from our affiliate agency, Central Services Bureau, which is where we get our figures for revenue and expenditures. And I just included that so you can see where we are with our actual figures. And that's my report.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for preparing.
Sure.
Is there any questions or discussion? Questions for Melissa at all?
Melissa, these July numbers, that was for the, it's the first half, those are first half numbers, is that correct?
Those are, yes, for the beginning of the fiscal year.
Okay, so it looks like historically that, you know, maybe because of the virus, but the only having received 3 applications and granting 11 licenses, that's, those obviously are on the low side for our normal numbers, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
We usually get more than 3 applications a month. And Kurt, are the new numbers you gave me in the packet? Let me...
They are not. The new numbers...
they're not, okay.
I'm sharing them on the screen. They were not included in the packet. It was a little late on that, but... they are available on the screen if you're computering in.
Yeah, so you'll see here, we got, it looks small to me on my screen. How many home inspector applications?
I'm only saying 3.
3. Okay, so it's the same as in July. And
I must be wrong because it's only taking 29 days to grant.
Yeah, the numbers this month are just a little different, but it looks like we got 3 applications this month, like 3 applications last month. Took 10 days. Total. No, we granted 10, and then there were a few more renewals than last month.
I just did
that. So the director's report is what I presented to the board in July. These are new numbers that the board will see at its August meeting. You're seeing them first. So the numbers are low, in my opinion.
So I just did my normal way of taking the apps. It's just...
I'll take a look, because it should be almost the same as the number granted. If we're doing them within a month, they should be almost 10 and 10, because we're not holding on to them.
And as you know, this could be... received, you know, July 31st or throughout the whole month, and then it throws things off. But that's just...
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be the same, but...
But, yeah, you can definitely take a look at it and let me know.
I'll double check it.
But you'll see the numbers in all the categories are lower, guys. I mean, we only got 34 applications for engineers. That number's usually much higher. Even alarm agents. So I think it's a direct result of the pandemic.
True.
Yeah, no. And I guess if there is something for us to keep an eye on, it might be the total number of renewals. There's certainly probably some inspectors that are simply don't want to practice in this environment, and they may not be renewing. And if we see that number really or that number decrease as far as number of renewals, you know, that could be an area of concern if we don't have enough people practicing.
True. This is also, Kurt, I think the last month in this renewal cycle, right? You send out renewal notices in September, right?
So these numbers would be
the next quarter.
The renewals haven't been sent out for the quarterly. The emails have been, Rob can let me know. The emails were sent out for September for firms and certificate holders. And then I will be sending out the letters probably
this week or so.
End of this week or beginning of next week, the letters will go out.
Yeah. So next month's numbers should be higher just because more people renew right away when they get the notice, but people still have several other months to send their renewals in. So that's why the numbers this month will probably look low, whereas if we're able to show you the numbers in September, they'll be higher because people will just have received their notice to renew.
Yeah, it's not a great time to overanalyze data right now.
Right. I think we're going to have to wait at least 6 months to see if there's a trend we have to worry about.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Any other questions for Melissa?
Melissa, this is Jane Montgomery. Do you see any trend toward increasing costs for licensure in this period of economic recession?
I don't, Jean. And actually, I've talked to Patty about this because clearly it's a concern. But we have a really healthy savings fund. Unfortunately, it's going to probably be swept. I don't think we'd be able to get a fee increase through because we always underspend what we bring in. We always bring in more revenue than we spend. And so the trend with other agencies in the state has actually been to lower fees or suspend them if the fund balance gets too high. And that happened recently with the dental board. They charge much more than we do for their professional licenses. And the legislature looked at their fund balance a couple of years back and said, you don't get to charge fees for the next 2 years. So they've had to work down their fund balance. And we were concerned that we would be in a similar position, but I think all that is up in the air at this point with COVID and the deficit and the plans that the Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting and Joint Legislative Budget Committee will have in the upcoming session. So I don't think we're going to be able to revisit fees anytime soon, Gene.
Okay. No, thank you, Melissa, for the update.
Okay.
Great. All right. Thank you so much. On to agenda item number 7, committee chairman's report, and I don't have anything that was not discussed already in our agenda. So on to future agenda items. I think we had said continue 5B, 5C, and then I think we need 5I for the standards. Is there anything else anybody can think of now for a future agenda item?
The checklist.
Sorry, one more time, Melissa?
The checklist, if you guys want to review that.
Not till November.
I'm not sure we'll be down the road far enough with the standards to do it this year. And it's actually been pretty stable with regard to year-to-year changes, so it probably won't be necessary anyway.
Great.
And of course, we can all add items to the next meeting agenda as needed going forward. And then, so if we can move on to future meetings, we were talking November, and I have my wife right here, so I don't, can you check our schedule too, just to be sure? I had to lock her out of the ability to alter my schedule because it was going haywire. Google went haywire on me, so I have to actually physically check in. But our normal is maybe the second week on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, right?
Yes. The 11th of November is a state holiday.
Okay. How about the...
Let's do it on that day.
So how about the 10th of November? How does that look for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Good for me.
It's good for me.
Yeah, it works for Andy if I'm still on the board.
Great. Hopefully you will be, Andy.
Yeah.
It works for Peter.
Excellent.
Good. Then let's set that for November 10th. And
is this for the standards of practice discussion only, David?
No, we have 5B, 5C, and 5I from this agenda on the agenda right now for November, but there could be other additions as well. But
I mean, you could meet another agenda item could be to discuss the standards. It doesn't have to be a separate meeting.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's on, right? It's on up for I.
Didn't I hear that the way the land surveyors did it was they had the committee meeting, but then folks on the task force stayed an hour longer or came in, you know, at a later time and dealt with the standards then?
Yes, they did separately agendize a meeting for just discussing their standards, but they weren't required to comply with the open meeting law like you guys.
Wait a minute. Why did they rank and we didn't?
Well, actually, you rank and they don't. Because your committee members are going to be on the task force. That's why.
I see.
So there's a quorum. If all five of you appear, even if all three industry members are the only ones that appear, there will be a quorum. So we have to have an official meeting.
Okay, very good. Do we want to conduct the task force? We'll just maybe change 5I to represent that we're going to have the task force, or is it at the end, or how did you recommend we do that?
Well, if you only want to have the one meeting in November, we could have all the items you want on the agenda, but just focus a lot of our time, more of our time, on the standards discussions and looking over, you know, the edits and the drafts that you guys will have had a chance to put on that website Kurt set up. So we could do it that way, or we could have a separate meeting just to talk about the standards.
For November, David, I recommend that we just have a standard rules and standards committee meeting with item number I taking up most of that meeting, and then that'll get us on track for the first of the year to actually start putting together specific meetings for the standards themselves.
That's a good idea. Okay, I like that.
Because if we do this under I in November, I think we're going to be that's going to be like a shot in the arm to get these standards moving into the new year.
Good thought.
Sounds good. Okay. If you indulge me, one more thing. Ms. Pritzel has announced that she's going to retire the first week of October. So I just got permission to let you guys know that. I don't know. We could invite her to the meeting if you want, but as a future agenda item, I thought it would be important that you guys know that. We're certainly going to miss her and her contributions clearly to the board and this committee specifically, I think, have been really monumental, and I know you guys have really appreciated her time, so I didn't want this meeting to adjourn without you hearing from her that by my voice that she will be retiring.
Well, she's going to be truly missed.
I know, she really will be. But she's truly looking forward to retiring.
Is she allowed to retire?
I told her she wasn't, but she doesn't listen to me.
Yeah, I thought there was a rule about that.
I thought that took a motion from an approval from our committee.
I'm sure it did, yeah. Anyway, so when are we ever going to see her again? If she's going to, we're coming back in November, she's retiring in October.
I know. Well, that's why I'm saying maybe we invite her and we put that on a future agenda item.
Let's do that. As a future agenda item. Who's going to bring the cake?
Well, I certainly can do that.
That'll entice her to come, right?
I hope so. And hopefully we'll all be able to meet in person by November. So
we have another future agenda item is to say goodbye to Patrice.
Right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
Marissa,
guys.
Marissa, who are you going to replace her with?
I don't know, and the question is whether I'll be able to replace her because the governor's office has been saying that some agencies aren't allowed to replace their deputies. So we'll see. I have to talk to the Department of Administration about that.
Okay, well then, if you're going to take over the role of executive director and deputy executive director, we're going to have two cakes in November.
Yeah.
Okay, we could.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, and don't forget, I still have my awesome staff. We still have Doug and Rob and Kurt and Michelle and, you know,
all the dedicated
employees. So we'll miss Patty, but I think we'll be okay. It will be different, but hopefully still okay.
Very, very good. We're going to miss her.
Yeah, we still appreciate everyone's hard work and professionalism and we're grateful. So, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, if we can get one more motion there for an adjournment.
I second
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
Outstanding. All those, do we have to do a roll call vote for this, Kurt?
Do we even need a vote to do it? I was curious.
Let's do it the right way then.
Andrew Everode?
Yeah, a motion.
Are you wanting to do this right now?
Yes, please. We have a motion in a second. Is there any discussion? I'm assuming not. Okay.
I'm kidding.
Peter Leeds.
Aye.
Eugene Montgomery.
Aye.
David Swartz.
Aye.
Paul Steron.
Aye.
Motion carried. We are adjourned.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate you using Google and coming in person.